tasvinavaditamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shrivasadi gaura bhakta vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, mantra 17. Let this temporary body be burned to ashes and let the our flight be merged with the totality of air. Now, O my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices, and because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I have done for you. Mantra 17 confirms that the living entity continues to exist after the annihilation of this of his material body. The soul does not die when the gross body is destroyed, nor is it obliterated when the subtle body is dissolved as a result of spiritual practice. So the first will be the position of the atheists. The soul does not die when the gross body is destroyed. Different grades of atheists, they say that, some of them they say there is no difference between the body and the soul, it's just one thing. And some, these are, for example, the Charvakas, they would say like this: the body is the soul. And the Buddhists, some Buddhists, they will say that there is a difference between the body and the soul, but still the soul can be destroyed at any moment. Basically the same thing. So the soul is something different from the body, but it's still material. A different material substance. It can be destroyed. So the first is, the soul doesn't die when the gross body is destroyed, nor it is obliterated when the subtle body is dissolved. These are the mayavadis. When the subtle body is dissolved as a result of spiritual practice. The soul has an eternal individual existence. The spiritual knowledge reaches maturity when one realizes that the soul is not only eternal, but is also eternally a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Brahman is the effulgence coming out from Krishna's transcendental body, and Paramatma is his expansion. Without such understanding, there will be fall down even from Brahma Jyoti. In order to remember the Lord at the time of death, one should practice the 9 processes of devotional service throughout his life. Mantra 17. So, Mantra 17 is a prayer that the Lord remembers all sacrifices done for him and accepts them as devotional service. So the point is to connect our activities to Krishna. If we can do this at the time when we perform these activities, if we can think about Krishna and connect it to Krishna, then this is very good. If not, at least at the time of death, we should be trying to do that somehow, to remember the Lord. Sotra Maharaj used to say about this verse. Om Krato Smara Krita Gam Smara. Yeah, it's this one. No? Yeah. He used to say that it reminds him about some ritualistic brahmana who performed many sacrifices. for the pleasure of the demigods. Then at the end of his life, he realizes that he's going to die, and actually it is Vishnu who is the supreme, and he's praying to the Lord, please accept all those that I have done for my own sanctification as something that I did for you, actually, for your pleasure. So it's a way to connect to Krishna. So Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, even at the time of death, so till the time of death we have time to make our life perfect. Even at the time of death, one can change his consciousness and become Krishna conscious. And then it is all over. Yes?
So would that be an instance of Sakam, actually, where you realize that in the deathbed and you're trying to offer something that was your resolve, but to Krishna? Or,
why not pure Krishna consciousness? Because you remember Krishna at the time of death. Could be, in this sense it can be, could be taken as Sakam, but the result will be that you go back home to Gopi, because this is what happens when you remember Krishna. But yes, technically could be taken as Sakam.
But Sakam is also within pure devotional service, right?
If the goal is ultimately to attain Krishna, then it can be, yes, it is part. If a devotee performs Sakam, he keeps some result for himself, but he gives some to Krishna, then he's a devotee, he's advancing, so he'll be purified. Yes, it can be part. Yes. You want to ask something? No?
I did.
Okay. Okay, later.
Oh, I remembered how that was reminding me of the story of the man who is, he's growing a big crop of rice, and then he's saying that, okay, I will offer half of this to Lord Govinda, mm-hmm. and then when the harvest comes, he's okay, one quarter, and then finally it all gets threshed and the rice is there, and he says, okay, I'll give you one bag of rice, and then he's carrying it along the road, and finally the wind comes and blows off some of it, and he says, Govinda, that's your bit.
Yeah. Now this is the negative side of this story. So it shouldn't be used as an excuse to keep the result for ourselves. But here is an extreme situation at the time of death. So Krishna says, if you remember me at the time of death, then you go back home to God. Yes?
I was asking Maharaj a question about this, because when my father passed away, Krishna Upanishad was playing
But anyway, he'll be, because of you, he'll be benefited immensely. So even if he's not, no, but even if, he won't get benefit directly by his own endeavor, but because of you, because you're a devotee, then he'll get benefit. Not because he's conscious of the mantra. Prabhupada said actually, that, If the parents of the devotees, they are not aware, they don't know, they don't accept Krishna, they don't bother, they don't understand anything about Krishna consciousness, at the time of when they die, then they will understand what is the benefit of having a son or a daughter devotee. Yeah. The spiritual knowledge reaches maturity when one realizes that the soul is not only eternal, but is also eternally a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Brahman, we read this. Okay. In order to remember the Lord at the time of death, we read this one also. As Vedanta Deshika explains, the devotee prays that the Lord carry what the devotee lacks and preserve what the devotee has. This famous verse from Gita, you know, Yoga Kshema Vaham Yaham. Baladeva Vidibhushan renders the word Kratosmara as, O mind which has willpower, remember what is worthy of remembering since death is approaching. So this is our practice. We are chanting Hare Krishna every day. And actually, it is a... we are practicing for the time of death. Because imagine you chant Hare Krishna, if you're lucky enough to chant your whole life, you chant 16 rounds or even more. But you never bother to actually try to concentrate on the mantra. And many cases like this. And then, let's say you are aware that the moment of death is approaching. Many times we don't know. Let's say we are lucky, we know it's coming. So then what are you going to do? If you never practice remembering Krishna while chanting, then your mind will be just very disturbed at that moment. This is why King Kulashekhar, he's praying, let me die now. Was Kulashekhar or... I think it was... Yeah. Let me die now because now I'm young and I'm healthy and my mind is not disturbed. So I can think of you. The point is that we should practice really. When we chant, we should really chant. It shouldn't be just mechanical. Because death is coming anyway. And if you're not practiced... Mantra 7... Okay, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, the mind can be the best friend or the worst enemy of the conditioned soul. Therefore, it is of vital importance to keep the mind flooded with Krishna consciousness. The state of the mind at the moment of death will determine the soul's next destination. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. The last one, yes.
O my Lord, as powerful as fire, O omnipotent one, now I offer you all obeisances, falling on the ground at your feet. O my Lord, please lead me on the right path to reach you, and since you know all that I have done in the past, please free me from the reactions to my past sins, so that there will be no hindrance to my progress.
In Mantra 18, the devotee prays to be freed from his sinful reactions. Why will the devotee pray to be freed from his sinful reactions? What will be the reason? Normally the devotees are not so interested just in... Yes? Okay, you were the first.
They keep them in the material world. That would result in his rebirth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You want to say the same thing?
To have no distraction. No,
okay. Because the sinful reactions will be a distraction to devotional service sometimes, often. That's why. It's not just because he wants to be freed of suffering. It's not ego-centric. But it's connected to Krishna. Okay. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna promises, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami. I will deliver you from all sins. The devotee prays to be freed of sin because this will clear his way back to Godhead. Another aspect of Mantra 18 is explained by Srila Prabhupada in his purport. In this mantra of Sri Upanishad, the devotee prays to the Lord to rectify him from within, his heart. To err is human, a conditioned soul is very often apt to commit mistakes, and the only remedial measure to take against such unintentional sins is to give oneself up to the lotus feet of the Lord, so that he may guide one to avoid such pitfalls. The devotee should not just seek nullification of his sinful reactions. He should be eager to rectify himself according to the Lord's directions. The conditioned soul naturally has many doubts and erroneous ideas. All such misconceptions should be corrected. A devotee should adjust himself according to the laws of God and not vice versa. In order to make this step, one should be sincere and not crooked. So in other words, there are some devotees, they have difficulties following the process. They don't attain the result that they think they should attain. They don't feel it. I'm chanting so many years and this and that, I don't feel this, that I'm advancing. And then the easiest way is to blame the process. Not to blame ourselves, that we don't do something proper, correct? The easiest thing is to blame the process or Prabhupada. Some devotees say, well, Prabhupada didn't give us everything. He didn't, like there are some devotees, they say, just imagine, they say, Hare Krishna mantra is not enough. I heard this with my own ears. There are other mantras you should chant. You should chant the names of Gauranga and Nityananda on beats. Just Hare Krishna mantra is not enough because Rana and Krishna, they actually accept offense, that you can commit offenses against them. But against Gauranga and Nityananda, no offense. So you should, if you don't chant also on beats Gauranga and Nityananda, then you're going to hell. Because you commit offenses. Yes. Yeah, the, yeah, because you don't follow their instructions. Yeah. It's definitely you definitely disobey their order. But this is just an example. There are so many other examples you can give. It's very easy to slip, to make this such mistakes. Because the alternative is that you have to blame yourself, and nobody wants to take the blame that he doesn't follow properly and he's not applying himself enough. It's difficult. So easy, just blame someone else. And sincere devotee will achieve the goal, even if he's unable to follow all the rules and regulations in the beginning. On the other hand, a crooked person cannot be saved because of his unwillingness to rectify his heart. This is explained in the purport of Bhagavad Gita. The injunction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the essence of all Vedic wisdom and therefore is eternally true without exception. As the Vedas are eternal, so this truth of Krishna consciousness is also eternal. One should have firm faith in this injunction without envying the Lord. There are many philosophers. Oh, we just read this morning. There are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita but have no faith in Krishna. They will never be liberated from the bondage of fruitive action. But an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of law of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, but because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. In mantra 17 and 18, the devotee surrenders to the Lord and prays for shelter and guidance. Similarly, in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna surrenders to Lord Krishna and prays to be accepted as his disciple. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered into you. Please instruct me. The spiritual science should be studied under a bona fide spiritual master. Lord Sri Krishna becomes Arjuna's guru and teaches him the science of self-realization. So in the beginning, the idea was that we will study Ishupanishad first, and then we will go to Gita. That's why Ishupanishad ends with this, in this way, pointing to Gita. I guess in the future we will correct this. Any questions? Comments? Are you clear about the essay questions? Any questions about that?
One question. When do we have to give the essays?
Ideally, before we start with the nectar of instruction. That means you have, now it's what, Friday? So you have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then the whole next week. And then on Monday, next Monday, we start nectar of instruction, so before that.
So this last class will not be next week?
This is the last class.
Yeah, I mean like, you know, this, the fourth class of the day.
No, there won't be. No. Okay. You have vacation.
Okay.
Well, if you can manage in 1 week, fine, if not, later. Whenever you... Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki jai.